Live from CAP Radio in Sacramento, this is Insight. I'm your host, Vicky Gonzalez. Welcome to 2024. A new year is bringing a familiar tradition, new state laws. More than 800 bills were signed into law by Governor Gavin Newsom, and many are now in effect. And for the better part of this month, we're going to unpack some of the most interesting and impactful. Today, we're going to focus on salary increases for some city council members across the state. Here to break it down is CAP Radio Sacramento government reporter Kristen Lamb, who will also get us up to speed on some significant and controversial developments within Sacramento's own governing body, from an official's pay to a federal indictment. Good morning, Kristen.
Good morning, Vicky.
Okay, so let's just dive into this new law. It is Senate Bill 329. It affects the salary caps for some city council members in the state. So what's the background behind this? What was the motivation for this legislation?
So these previous salary limits applied to most, but not all city council members across the state. The main motivation was to update these caps for interest rates. And on the low end, cities with a population of up to 35,000 people could pay council members $300 a month. And on the high end, in cities with more than 250,000 people, members could make up to $1,000 a month.
Oh, okay. So then what is this new law changing when it comes to the new salary limits?
The law increases the salary caps for council members in general law cities. So based on population, the new caps are $950 per month on the low end and $3,200 per month on the high end. The law also accounts for inflation in the future and allows council members to increase their salaries past these new caps in the future. And it also includes a couple of transparency measures, like requiring councils to discuss giving themselves raises during at least two regular meetings.
So when we're talking about these general law cities, I mean, this new caps are like anywhere from like $12,000 a year to like $36,000 a year. So it's not necessarily sizable. What is a general law city compared to a charter city like Sacramento?
The short version is charter cities operate under their own charters, while general law cities must follow general state laws. Charter cities basically have more authority over municipal affairs, and about 75% of California's 482 cities are general law cities, but it's common for bigger, more populous cities to be charter cities like Sacramento. As an example for a general law city here locally is Elk Grove.
Okay, and obviously that's close by. And 75% is a good chunk of cities in the state. So yeah. When was the last time that there were salary caps when it was adjusted for general law cities like Elk Grove?
1984. So the new caps make up for 40 years of inflation.
Okay, so it's been like four decades. And when it comes to the bill's author, State Senator Bill Dodd, his district covers parts of Sacramento and Yolo counties here. So why did he feel that now was the right time to address the pay of city council members?
So supporters say it was overdue to adjust the pay for four decades of inflation. And in the smallest cities, council members could see their pay jump from $300 to $950 per month. And just as an example of a place that falls under that category is Patterson in Stanislaus County. Two people I spoke with told me that council members need to do a lot of work. So to do a good job, they don't just sit in public meetings. They should spend time researching city issues and meeting with community members. So under previous caps, members could easily make less than state minimum wage for their labor.
Yeah. And the bill's author also argued that this new legislation, which is now a new state law, that it would help remedy what he called a discouraging public participation on city councils. So how will these higher salaries boost participation on councils?
Ideally, higher salaries will make it easier for people from diverse backgrounds to be able to afford to do the work or even decide to run and seek office in the first place. Political campaigns can be expensive, but that's a bit of a tangent. Supporters hope the better compensation will encourage more people from low-income backgrounds to serve on city councils, as well as younger people, parents of young kids, people who don't have generational wealth, and so on. That way, you don't end up with a council council of white retired lawyers and have a council that's more representative of the city. For context, the California-Hawaii State Conference of the NAACP was one of the orgs that supported the bill.
So when can these new salary raises begin?
The law went into effect yesterday, but a city can only implement salary increases for council members when at least one begins a new term. So for general law cities, where new council members are elected in November of this year, salary increases probably can't be implemented until late this year.
And as you mentioned, general law cities, there's 75% of the cities in the state are general law cities, but there's also charter cities like the city of Sacramento. Why did this law not apply to all cities?
Yeah, so charter cities can basically make their own rules on council member salaries. So charter cities can decide the amount, when it can be increased, and so on.
Okay, so when it comes to the city of Sacramento, how much do council members make?
As of this past June, Sacramento council members make about $103,000 a year. The city's Compensation Commission votes on salary increases for council members in public meetings, and that commission is made up of 5 city residents. It also determines the mayor's salary, too.
And that's a big difference.
Yeah.
Compared to general law cities. You're listening to Insight here on Cap Radio. If you're just joining us, we're talking with Cap Radio Sacramento government reporter Kristen Lamb. So on the topic of pay increases, the Sacramento City Council did vote a couple weeks ago in December to give city manager Howard Chan a raise, but it turns out that it violated state law. So what's going on there?
Yeah, it was a violation of the Brown Act. That's a state law that requires local governments to do business openly and publicly. The act bans the council from holding special meetings about executives' salaries, but that's what the council did on December 12th. The council is supposed to vote on pay for Chan in regularly scheduled meetings. Special meetings can be held with only a day's notice versus regular meetings need at least 3 days' notice for the public. Mm.
You reported that this was the 6th raise in 7 years for the city manager. Why was another raise deemed necessary?
The proposed raise is based off of cost of living increases, according to a city staff report. The 5% raise would bring his base pay from about $400,000 to $420,000 a year. And if it gets passed again, we'll get into that a little later, it would go into effect retroactively to February of 2023. If we include this raise, like you said, the council has approved 6 pay increases for him in 7 years. Steinberg, it's worth noting that Mayor Steinberg, as well as council members Mai Vang and Katie Valenzuela, abstained from voting on the raises.
This additional raise has received some criticism from the public. What is the city's explanation?
Definitely, people have asked, why does Chan deserve this salary? Asking, what has he accomplished to justify this? Steinberg specifically has raised concerns over whether giving Chan and other city executives pay increases makes sense when there's a budget deficit in the forecast. The city hasn't really given an explanation other than the cost of living adjustment. But generally speaking, officials usually justify high pay for city managers by saying they're the city's chief executive officer, or they might also say that they're trying to retain city managers and avoid turnover by keeping them happy.
So when could the city council vote again, following proper procedures in line with the Brown Act, on this potential raise?
Yeah, I confirmed with the city spokesperson that the council plans to redo the vote next week Tuesday. The Sacramento Bee was the first to report on those plans. The council is having its regular meeting on January 9th, so that would be following the Brown Act this time.
And Kristen, I mean, it was a busy month for you. I mean, another development in December was council member Sean Lalowie. He was indicted last month on federal charges. And just last week, Mayor Steinberg has publicly called for his resignation. So walk us through the charges that Lalowie faces.
As the owner of the Viva Supermarket grocery store businesses, he faces a 25-count federal indictment. His co-defendant is Carla Montoya, the general manager of his stores. Lalowie and Montoya allegedly obstructed investigations by the U.S. Department of Labor and falsified immigration documents. They also allegedly withheld overtime wages and fraudulently obtained COVID-19 business relief funds. Lalowie pleaded not guilty on December 15th and is due back in court next month.
During public comment, and I've talked to the mayor about this when he joined us on Insight, you know, there were people in the community that called for Lalowie's resignation even before this indictment from, and that includes the Sacramento Central Labor Council to even some of the constituents as well. But Mayor Steinberg kept somewhat quiet, including when he joined us on Insight last month. That obviously has now changed. What is his reasoning to ask for Lalowie's resignation publicly now?
Yeah, I saw you had the mayor on the show just 2 days before the indictment news came out. And at the time, he told you that there were no formal charges against Lalowie. So he said that it would be fair to allow the federal investigation to finish. And if formal investigations came out, he told you it would be a different story. 2 days later, the 25-count indictment became public. That same day, Steinberg implied he wanted Lalowie to resign. He gave a statement saying he believed things would be resolved in 24 hours, and they weren't. The following week, Steinberg issued a statement saying he was talking with Lalowie regularly and thought the council member would, quote, do the right thing. But asking Lalowie to resign privately didn't work out. So the week after that, this past Thursday, the mayor went public and called on Lalowie to resign immediately.
Okay, so given that Lalowie hasn't indicated that he's intending to resign from his seat, what actions can the council or even city officials actually take?
A spokesperson from the city clerk's office told me that the mayor and the council don't have the authority to remove him from his seat. They also can't suspend him. She also said that it's unlikely that city manager Howard Chan could remove a council member, given that he reports to the council. They're sort of like his boss. But if there's one other aspect that raises questions, it has to do with Sean Lalowie's residency. A judge ordered him to stay in his wife's Granite Bay home instead of his house in Sacramento because his co-defendant lives in his Sacramento home.
So, and Granite Bay is in Placer County.
Yes, on a whole different county, way far out of his district in the North Sacramento area. So that renews last year's eligibility question about whether he can even hold office legally in Sacramento. Steinberg has asked the city attorney to give an opinion on whether Lalowie can legally keep his council seat.
If council member Lalowie changes his mind, decides to step down, what would the next steps be?
If he resigns, then the city would appoint someone to fill the seat for the rest of the term. It's set to end in December 2024. The city would have to accept applications for the appointment, and it wouldn't affect this year's city council elections. District 2 residents will still vote for a new council member in the March 5th primary election. If one candidate wins more than 50% of the vote, they will join the council in December of this year. But if no candidate meets that threshold, the top two vote getters will face off in the November general election. The winner takes office in December.
And the council member Lalowie, if I'm correct, he previously said he's not running for re-election, right? So
correct.
How many candidates are running for the seat currently that are going to be on the ballot for the March primary?
Yeah, so the filing deadline was last month. Lalowie didn't file to run for re-election, so he can't at this point. And there are 9 candidates that got their papers approved to run for the seat representing District 2. That includes Del Paso Heights, Old North Sacramento, and Woodlake. It's worth noting that the candidates include the chief of staff for Lalowie's council district office, Veronica Smith, as well as Roger Dickinson, a former state lawmaker and former Sacramento County supervisor.
Kristen, thanks so much for walking us through a lot of developments.
Thanks for having me.
Kristen Lamb is Cap Radio's Sacramento government reporter. You're listening to Insight on your NPR station, Cap Radio. I'm Vicki Gonzalez.